second Sunday after the Epiphany, many other denomination. This is also celebrated as Sanctity of Life Sunday, for people to remember that life indeed is a gift of God. As a matter of fact, our Lord even asks us this day, choose life. And he gives us that life in his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Therefore, with the Church of all ages, we turn our backs on those who wish to end life prematurely, end life for the unborn, and basically speak the word of death in the place of life. And thanks be to God, our Lord always does show us his forgiving life, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. On this, the second Sunday after the Epiphany, then, we begin our service with the singing of our first hymn in 134, Songs of Thankfulness and Praise. After the last stanza, we rise and continue with our service on page 5 of our hymn.
Thank you.
against thee, thy thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to thine infinite mercy, seeking and imploring thy grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O Lord, most merciful God, who has given thy only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake, grant us remission of all our sins, and by thy Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of thee, and of thy will, and true obedience to thy word, to the end that by thy grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy upon us, and has given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. To them that believe on his name, he gives power to become the sons of God, and has promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. All the earth shall worship you and shall sing unto you, O God. They shall sing unto your name, O you most high. Make a joyful noise unto God, all you lands. Send forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. seated. On this, the second Sunday after the Epiphany, the Old Testament lesson is written in the fifth book of Moses, the 18th chapter of Deuteronomy, beginning at the 15th verse. And the Lord called all Israel together and said to them, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from among your countrymen. You shall listen to him. This is according to all that you asked of the Lord your God in Horeb on the day of assembly, saying, 'Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God. Let me not see this great fire anymore, for I will die.' The Lord said to him, 'You have spoken well. I will raise up a prophet from among their countrymen like you, and I will put my words into his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I commanded him. And it shall come about that whoever will not listen to my words, which he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him. The prophet who speaks a word presumptuously in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or which he speaks in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die. You may say in your heart, I only know the word which the Lord has not spoken. When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not come about or come true, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously, you shall not be afraid of it." So far, the Old Testament lesson. The epistle lesson, and also the lesson upon which this morning's sermon is based, is written in the 12th chapter of St. Paul's letter to the Romans, beginning at the 6th verse. "Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his service. For he who teaches in his teaching, for he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. But love be without hypocrisy, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love, give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation." So far the epistles. We now rise to speak the gradual responsibly and at the conclusion sing the triple hallelujah. All the earth will worship you, O Lord.
And will sing praises to you.
Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. One generation shall praise your works to another. On the glorious splendor of your majesty, and men shall speak of the power of your awesome acts. They shall eagerly enter the memory of your abundant goodness. Alleluia. Oh, praise the Lord, all you nations, and love him, all you people. Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to Mary, Woman, what do I have to do with you? My hour is not yet come. Jesus' mother said to the servants, whatever he says to you, do. Now there are 6 stone water pots there set for the Jewish custom of purification, containing 20 or 30 gallons each. Jesus had said to the servants, fill the water pots with water. And they began to fill them to the brim. And Jesus said to them, draw out some of the water now and take it to the head waiter. And they took it to him. And when the head waiter tasted the water which had become wine, and did not know where it had come from, but the servants who drew the water knew, the head waiter called the bridegroom and said to him, every man serves the good wine first, and then when men have drunk freely, then that which is poured. You have kept the good wine until now. This beginning of Jesus' signs, Jesus did in Cana of Galilee, and manifested his glory, and Jesus' disciples believed in him. So far, the Holy Gospel. Please join me as we now confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed, printed atop page 12 of our hymn.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried, he descended into hell, the third day he rose again from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and served on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen. Please be seated. Continue with him. 395, O God, thou faithful God, and before the sermon we sing stanzas 1 to 4.
Thank you. by God the Father and preserved in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, grace, mercy, and love be multiplied unto you. We hear a portion of the epistle lesson from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, which was read earlier. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. So far the text. Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in my sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You know, jars were made of clay, and jars would be used for any number of things. But to make a clay jar means that you mix the clay and then pounded it out to get rid of all the air bubbles, and then you would form the clay, hopefully without any air bubbles, into a jar, and then fire it in a kiln. And then the clay would become hard enough so that the jar could hold either hot or cold liquids. But when a jar was heated, sometimes it would develop cracks. And that was a sign that the craftsman had not pounded the clay enough to get rid of all the air bubbles. Now, I'm sure that if I went into a store and I saw a jar with cracks, I wouldn't buy it. I don't think you would either. But there were some storekeepers back then, as well as today, who were, how should we say, less than honest and would cut corners. And so they would take colored wax and fill in the cracks so the jar would look as good as new. Now, if you bought the jar that had the crack filled in with wax, you would be in for a if you poured in cold liquid, probably nothing would happen. But if you poured in hot liquid, you know, wax melts when it's hot. And the wax would melt, and instead of having a jar, you would basically have a sieve. Now, how to tell which jars were good and which jars might be altered? Well, storekeepers would then put up a sign in their shop, and in Latin the sign read, sine serra. Sine is the word for without, and serra is the, C-E-R-E, is the word for wax. So it would mean without wax. And that's when we get sine plus serra means sincere. In other words, they bought in these stores were uncracked pots, no cosmetic alterations. There is the origin of the word sincere. As we look at this text, it brings me to my sermon topic for this morning. God's forgiving love seals the cracks. And I'll develop that in three parts. First, the wax of God's love. Secondly, cling to the good and hate the evil. And thirdly, sincerity means action. Elsewhere in the scriptures, in both the Old Testament as well as the New, we believers are compared to clay pots. In the Old Testament, the prophet Isaiah, for example, spoke about God being the potter and we being the clay, and God could form the clay in what. And in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul speaks about having a treasure in clay pots. The treasure, by the way, is the gospel. And of course, all of us are clay pots. In our lesson for today, the Apostle Paul tells each believer to love sincerely. That is to say, that our love should be pure. There shouldn't be any cracks showing through. Now, you know, we certainly can look at each other and it can appear as if we don't have any cracks. Reminded of an old cartoon in the New Yorker, which I saw, I'm sure, decades ago, probably in one of these cartoon anthologies. Two judges are in their antechambers and they're putting on their robes. And one judge says to the other, "You know, at home I can't do anything right and I get no respect. My wife and my children are all the more delighted to point out all my faults. But you want to know something? I put on these robes, go into that courtroom, and by God, I'm it." And you know, those robes would kind of cover up any crack. And it out. And that can be the way it is with us as well. You know, if we have no crack. But deep inside, I think all of us know we aren't perfect. We do have cracks because as humans, it is impossible to love sincerely, perfectly sincerely. And if by chance we think that we can be perfectly sincere in our love, all of God's holiness. And all of a sudden, compared with the light of perfection, we see that we are all leaky pots. God's light shines a light in the darkness that will show out all our imperfections. Sincerity can be put to the test and can be found wanting. We see that God has provided a remedy for all of us. It's kind of a patch for cosmetic alteration. Our love can't be love. It is God's love poured into us and His Son, Jesus Christ. God's love is the love just for us on the cross. It is the love of commitment. It is the love that goes into death for us while we were yet sinners and while we were yet enemies of God. This is the love that wins for us forgiveness and declares we are forgiven. Now, when we are held up into the light of God's holiness, God doesn't see our cracks, but He sees the forgiveness, the sincere love that has been won for us by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God's love is the forgiveness that Christ has won for us and in God's eyes covers up and seals our imperfections or cracks. And Paul goes on to tell us that the forgiveness of Jesus, which comes imperfection, we are good. You know, there are all sorts of Looney Tunes about at work in this world that somehow says that love accepts everything and it speaks to a basic confusion. Nature, we cannot know good and evil from the perspective that God does. Oh, sure, you know, we can figure some things out, but we only have to look at the news media and see that people can, in effect, excuse virtually anything under the sun. still lived in Edmonton, there was an exhibit called Anno Domini, which showed images of Christ and Christ's followers throughout the ages. It was basically based on Yaroslav Pelikan's book, Christ Through the Ages. I looked at it, and I looked at the art, and my comment was, well, second-class art for a first-class savior. But there, portrayed as one of Christ's followers, was a name that was well known in Canada, but not so well known here. There was a picture of Robert Latimer. Latimer had taken his 13-year-old daughter, who had been crippled with cerebral palsy, put her into the cab of his pickup truck, put a hose from the exhaust to the cab, and killed her. He said love made him do it. Love for Tracy Latimer to relieve her of her pain. She could not speak for herself because she died. But was it love? I'll speak a little bit about more on this later. Then, of course, we hear about a famous American religious figure who basically fathered a child out of wedlock and crowed to everybody that this was a love child. There's another name for this kind of child, and instead of a love child, we might call it a lust child. Or we might talk, or we might hold up the example of a former mayor of San Francisco who admitted to the same thing with a campaign worker, and out it by the press, he said, who cares? At least he was honest about it and didn't try to excuse it by the word of love or anything else. Now, these and other cases, the problem is the idea. But guess what? From God's perspective, was lost and never gotten it back. Lost that because that was the tree from which Adam and Eve were forbidden to eat. Why? They didn't have any need. Knowledge of God himself and the perfect knowledge of God can always distinguish between good and evil. But the temptation was to ignore God's warning and taste and see that the fruit was good to the eye and good to the taste. Then, it probably was. Of goodness, their act meant that the sweetness of the fruit hid the bitter taste of death and sin. Thus, justifies anything man tastes sin and death. If the senses agree to it, well then do it. But sincerity means love in action. Sincere love. That is to say, the love that God shows us in his Son, Jesus Christ, the love that is committed to forgive, the love that can actually hide or cover our imperfections, calls us to action. But the actions to which we are called are always judged against and normed by the Word of God. Then this love of God rejoices in hope, is patient in tribulation, and is constant in prayer. And we may ask, well, what does that mean? More than a wishy-washy feeling that somehow things will work out better tomorrow. That was the Greek idea. Well, maybe tomorrow will be better than today, you know. We can only hope. But the rejoicing of which Paul speaks, in Jesus Christ, we have the assurance of forgiveness and the assurance that Christ has won for us the victory over sin, death, and the power of the devil. Thus, we have a hope which is not centered in ourselves, it is not centered in our experience, but it is anchored in the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we can have hope so that we can be patient in tribulation. What bothers you may not bother you. But gradually we see that tribulation means trouble, whether physical or spiritual. It may mean a handy. Lucy Latimer had an incurable handicap. She had a severe case of cerebral palsy and needed 24-hour care. She suffered, no ifs, ands, or buts. But her caregivers also said that she could smile, that she could laugh, that her pain was not unremitting. She had good days and she had bad days. Now the Romans and Greeks had a cure for people like Tracy Latimer. It's called exposure. That means they would take them out of the city and leave them in a field, and, well, then the gods could take care of this handicapped child. What it actually meant is that wild animals would come and kill the child. Let's not kid ourselves. But the church throughout the ages called mercy killing or euthanasia. Jesus has spoken a word of life. The church has spoken of the steadfast love shown us in and by Christ, a steadfast love that would bear the burdens of tribulation in whichever form they may come. The church of death. Otherwise is to twist history and to twist Christ. Christ affirms life. It doesn't affirm death. Use anything. With his word may mean marriage problems. Well, what's the solution? Excuses anything? Hardly. Love is patient, patient even in tribulation. Here then we are to look to God's word for strength. This takes us through the tribulation of the Spirit, and as Christ was victorious, so shall we be as well. Love doesn't excuse anything. Abraham Lincoln had the right idea. He was married to Mary Todd, a short and seemingly mean-spirited woman. At the end of her life, she sank into madness. One time, Lincoln was asked why he put up with his wife. And he merely smiled and said it was the same with a horse. Regardless, you just hug them and love them all the more. That might have not been the complimentary thing to say about his wife, but you know, through his cross. And we are to continue steadfast in prayer. This is close to the idea of praying constantly. Prayer means that we may always be rooted in the Word of God, and that His Spirit may always enlighten us, so that we may always follow in the footsteps of He who walked the Calvary's road for us, so that we may be given the grace and strength that is laid out before us and that is secure and laid up for us in heaven. We may all be and never the devil world and our flesh. All false notions of love and urges us to accept just about everything. What is good and evil? And it opens up the Word of God to us, distinguish between the ways of God and the ways of the world. Seer, life to be committed to the love of God in which our hope, a hope which persists. That action is first God's love towards us, and then our love towards Him by our love towards others. Are we perfect? And the answer is no. But yes. Fear to And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Continuous stanzas 5 to 8 of O God, Thou Faithful God. At the conclusion, we turn back to page 12. We join our hearts and voices in singing the offertory, and then we'll receive the offering.
Thank you.
For those who are unable, we rise for prayer. We give thee, but thine own, whatever the gift may be. All that we have is thine alone, a trust, O God, from thee. Amen. Almighty and ever-living God, who in Jesus Christ thy Son hast given the light of thy truth for all who are in the darkness of error and falsehood, so that all men may have life through his name, we thank thee that thou hast called us into this true and living faith, and graciously bestowed upon us manifold gifts of grace. Hear now our prayer, Heavenly Father, that thy people may be shining lights in this world's darkness. To this end, grant that we may be united in brotherly love and zeal to do thy holy work set before us, fervent in the purpose of our calling, loyal in every test of faithfulness, joyful in our promised hope, steadfast in every trial, benevolent toward all men, gracious in hospitality, and holding fast to all that is good. Grant that we who are called out of darkness into the marvelous light of Christ may thus show forth his praises. Bestow a special measure of thy grace, O God, upon our house. As our Lord favored the marriage feast in Cana with his presence and first miracle, and manifested his power and glory amid the scenes of family love, grant that he may be the heavenly guest in every home and the guardian of its faith and life. Bless, we pray thee, all who live together in the bonds of holy matrimony, so that in obedience to thy word they may serve one another in love, hold each other in honor, and acknowledge thy goodness and grace in one spirit as they are one flesh. Grant that all who enter the holy estate of marriage ordained by thee may do so in reverence, purity, and godly love. Give stability, peace, and tranquility to the nations of the earth, and deliver all people from famine, pestilence, fire, storm, flood, earthquake, and every peril. And show thyself the God who alone doeth wonders, so that all men may know of thy power and glory, and send forth ministers of thy word, that the multitudes may learn of thy infinite goodness and love and the gift of thy Son and his gospel of grace and mercy. We implore thy mercy, O God, for all who may be in any special want or need of body and soul, that thou wouldst manifest thyself unto them in their deliverance from all evil, giving them the oil of joy for mourning and the garment of praise for heaviness, the light of hope for despair, the song of victory for defeat. Heavenly Father, we pray for those in our midst and those whom we know who are ill, asking that thy hand of healing be upon them, and that thou might give them that health needful, the body, soul, and spirit. To this end, we especially remember Nancy, Roy, Jean, Sue, Don, Richard, Beth, Ruth, Doug, Stephen, Mary, Nina, Peter, Jane, Sarah, and those whose names on our hearts which we lift up unto thee now. Be with those in our synod who have received calls and those who are calling. Let all have an extra measure of thy Holy Spirit, so that those who have received calls may see where their talents best lie in the furtherance of thy kingdom, and those who are calling may not lose hope in their vacancy. Be with all those who are driving the services this day. Set your holy angels over them and grant them a safe journey. Save us from all the hidden perils that surround us, and defend us now and always, even in that hour when thou shalt call us from this earthly tabernacle to dwell in thy house forever and ever. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, who has also taught us to pray,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Blessed Lord, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever the one true God, world without end. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Precepts, Lord, fulfill.